No Simple Road is stoked to have Sunset Lake CBD back with us as our sponsor. Sunset Lake is the real deal. If you've looked around trying to find CBD and it just didn't do what it was supposed to do, this is the place you need to go. They've got every kind of product you can imagine, including CBD tinctures with sleep gummies that are great for getting to bed, CBD gummy bears and reishi-infused chews that can help bring you a little bit of calm in a stressful day. They've got salve, they've got smokable hemp flower that's great for folks like me that don't want to get stoned and paranoid but want to have the benefits of cannabis. Well, now you got it. And they even carry CBD products for your pets, man. I'm saying this is Darwin-approved stuff. Go over to sunsetlakecbd.com and check out the full range of what they have. This is Vermont-grown right to your door, and they're giving you 20% off. So put in the promo code NSR20 when you're checking out. You're going to get 20% off your whole order, and I know you're going to love it. They even have subscription options open for you, so you don't forget to get your medicine. Go check out Sunset Lake CBD, everybody. This episode of No Simple Road is brought to you by the one and only
Shop Tour Bus.
Go to shoptourbus.com and check out the Digital Lot's coolest Grateful Dead inspired t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, trucker hats, tote bags, kids' clothes.
All the fun merch.
All of it. Well, not all of it.
Well, lots of fun merch.
Lots of it. There and it's the comfiest lots of stuff. Fun. It's so comfy, these t-shirts. This is like high quality stuff.
Yeah, man. You got to just go over there and order it. It is the holidays, and, you know, it's that time of year when you can't think of what to get for somebody. This is the perfect gift for the head in your life that likes the Grateful Dead.
It's an adventure, it's an outfit, and it's supporting the No Simple Road family.
And small business, man. Just saying.
And to boot, this doesn't just come to you in a boring, all these boring Amazon boxes are going to be coming this time of year. This is, like, the dopest intention put in this box. It's a little box that has somebody over there at Shop Tour Bus put all the intention into a Grateful Dead lyric or whatever they decide to do on it. It comes like hand painted or markered up or everything. It is like a keepsake.
Yeah.
It comes full of all kinds of goodies.
Yep. All kinds of stuff on the inside of that thing. There could be figurines, gum, candy. You don't know what's going to be in there. And some of you are going to get a miracle bootleg Grateful Dead cassette tape in your order, and
all of you are going to get free shipping if you put in the promo code No Simple Road.
That's right. No Simple Road is the promo code, all one word. So go to shoptourbus.com or at shoptourbus on Instagram to see what they're doing over there. It's something special. Check it out.
Have you ever listened to Memphissippi Sounds?
Out of a sun?
That you got at Electric Fish Lights?
Well, shit. You absolutely can.
Yeah.
And you probably should. And you know what? When you go to electricfishlights.com, your eyes are going to be imploded with the magnificence, the stupendousness, the outrageous IQ technology that they're putting together to create one-of-a-kind, dope-ass lighting fixtures for your home.
That's right. They use recycled plastic milk jugs, and they create these one-of-a-kind lit work of arts.
Lit. Yeah, lit.
It truly is lit.
It's lit.
All the lights come with a 12-year energy-efficient, safe-to-leave-on bulb, a 12-foot cord, a hardware kit to hang the light. They're safe to use outside, inside, upside, downside. It doesn't matter which side you use
on
these
the
lights.
Side.
You could use them on the flip side. You could also...
You can send them for Christmas presents.
Look, it's this is a great gift ideas over here. Yeah.
This is a very unique gift, and they got you covered. They do. Go to their site and look. They do all the cartoon characters. They got all the sports teams covered. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
And they're hooking up the No Simple Road family with 25% off. When you put it in the promo code NSR, get it? No Simple Road. NSR when you check out. You're going to get 25% off, and you're going to get Delaware Magic in your box. What's Delaware Magic, Aaron? I don't know, you guys. You're going to have to order it and find out. Could be a Frisbee. It could be bunny ears. It could be something really fucking amazing. But the amazing thing is going to be the light that you order from there. Make sure you get that color-changing bulb upgrade too, or the Bluetooth speaker color-changing bulb upgrade, because that just adds another dimension to an already multi-dimensional piece of artwork for your home. So go to electricfishlights.com and check out what they're doing over there.
To light up the world.
Yeah, and enlighten yourself. So you live in Portland and you want to get stoned.
Do you
just go to the dispensary around the corner? No, you go out to Hillsborough or Forest Grove and you go to Define Premium Cannabis. The only reason that you would do that, you would think, would be because they're a sponsor of No Simple Road, but you would be wrong if you thought that. The reason I'm telling you to go out there is because they have the best cannabis products in Oregon, period. That's just a fact.
It is. You know what else they got?
What else they got?
They've got me.
Oh, they do. They have the
this
one
is
Apple, and only
Apple.
And
I work there. So if you come out and visit us, I'm at the Hillsborough location Monday through Friday.
And if you go in there Monday through Friday at business hours, Apple will come out of the back dressed like a trash can, and he will vomit out the coolest cannabis product.
Kind of like Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, so come out there. It's a confusing world. In the cannabis industry, there's new products all the time. It's hard to know how to suit yourself for the right product. That is our goal. Take our time with you, get you educated, get you sent out the door with what you need for your mind, body, and soul.
Can we just stop for a second? I grew up in high school in the 80s. I graduated in 1989. In my wildest dreams, I never imagined, first of all, that cannabis would be a legal thing that you could just go to a shop and buy.
Second of all,
I never dreamed that a cannabis company would be sponsoring the podcast that I do about the thing that I love the most in the world.
No.
So it's pretty dope that we have a cannabis sponsor. Just think about that for a minute.
Every day I go to work, I look at it to have 24 to 28 strains available at all times. We used to be
psyched when the dope man had whatever you could get.
And sometimes if he had two things, he's like, this cheap $20 shit or this $35. That was like the bonus.
That is not what's happening out at Define. So go out to Hillsborough or Forest Grove. Make sure you say hi to Apple. Make sure you tell them that you listen to No Simple Road, because they're going to hook you up with 10% off. And your first time in, you're going to get a free t-shirt. And if you wear that t-shirt when you come back the next time and tell them that you listen to the show, you're going to get 15% off.
Yeah, that's an extra 5% for just wearing the shirt into the shop.
Yep. So go out there, get stoned. Take care of your aches and pains. Take care of your head. Take care of your body. All those little things that go wrong. Apple will hook you up. You're going to get clothes. You're going to get discounts. It's awesome. Free weed.
It's also Christmas time. People like weed.
Yes, they do.
We're so excited to tell you a bit about today's sponsor, Music Masters Collective. They are a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere.
Music Masters Collective events give you the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like Otil Burbridge, Steve Earle, Richard Thompson, former members of the band, the Milk Carton Kids, Nikki Glaspie, the Fab Four, and Sean Colvin, and so many more.
At an event like the Milk Carton Kids Sad Song Summer Camp happening this July, you can expect immersive classes, evenings of entertainment, excellent food, and a space for a lucky group of folks to learn, co-write, workshop, and perform with like-minded peers, all with the guidance of Kenneth Pattingale, Joey Ryan, and some of their favorite songwriters. This all-inclusive week in the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York is guaranteed to be magical. Scholarships are available and spots are extremely limited. So visit www.sadsongsummercamp.com/simple to learn more. That's www.sadsongsummercamp.com/simple. Check it out.
Hey everyone, Chris Pandolfi from the infamous String Dusters here to let you know that my podcast, Inside the Musician's Brain, is back on the airwaves for season 4, which means it's time once again to get deep with influential musicians from all across the musical landscape to really understand and translate the lessons of success, failure, inspiration, and hard work that are behind the music and the artists that we love. My guests this season include Rachel Price from Lake Street Dives, Sam Bush, Chris Wood, Chris Funk from The Decemberists, Lindsay Liu, MC Taylor from His Golden Messenger, and more. Check us out, and thanks for listening.
Simple Road in the house.
Yeah.
What's happening?
New equipment.
And Mel.
I got a fancy new MacBook Pro streaming live.
You sure did.
It's got me all excited.
And this is Apple coming at you on the new Apple Mac that just came today.
Who's that over there, Ewan?
I said my name. You weren't paying. You were too busy talking over me.
I was.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Rewind it.
I love it. Rewind it. Let's go back.
Check the tape.
They don't need to hear backwards. That I'm Mel every 30 seconds.
Are you Mel?
No.
Hey now, No Simple Road family, how's everybody doing? We're back with another fun-filled episode for everybody.
And who do we have? I can't hear myself at all.
We have Memphisippi Sounds this week.
What?
Yeah. We have Yella P. You guys are in for a treat.
I missed this one, so you guys
you were not present
about,
for this one, and you would have loved that. We're going to follow up with these guys in the future and get both of them on.
I hope so.
Because Cam was not present for this.
Their music's incredible. Super awesome to jam to, and just good vibes. I wish I could have been there, but I'm excited to hear the interview.
Yeah, Damian is Yella P, Damian Pearson, and he is the harmonica player from Memphisippi Sounds. And this is something different. Came to us from Dennis McNally, and the Memphisippi Sounds is part of Little Village, and they are pulling some serious new talent.
Yeah, they are.
And like I said, this is not what you would expect as far as like jam music is concerned. That this is like down home blues, and we got taken to school. Damian took us to school with the different types of blues that are down in the South. I knew that there was like Delta blues and like Chicago blues, but I didn't know that there was like a difference down South.
Yeah. Like that. Well, like on their site, when you go to it, it says a custom blend of North Mississippi hill country blues mixed with Memphis blues and soul. Rock, pop, and hip hop.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you hear all that in this, and then he plays the harmonica, the harp, and he is amazing. And you'll hear the story, but the story how he got into playing it is awesome.
Yeah.
And he plays a little for us when he moves to the. He started out.
Really?
It started out. He was in a juice bar or mm-hmm. something like that, and then it started getting crowded and a little loud. So he picked up his laptop. Technology, amazing. Was he on the phone?
Yeah.
And then he goes to his car, and we finish it in the car, and he plays a little harmonica and everything. And he's just amazing. Very inspirational.
That's cool.
And their story is super dope, too. It really is the universe putting people together that need to be playing together. And, you know, I don't want to ruin it, but, you know, it's one of those stories that, it lets you know that there's another hand working behind the scenes, putting people together that can make beautiful music together, literally and figuratively. So I am super excited for you guys to get to know Memphisippi Sounds.
Yeah, you got to go check them out. Check out their website. Check them out. They have a new video that came out for one of the songs, Who's Gonna Ride, which is actually, I just saw that this came out. I got to go watch this after we do the intro. It's a bunch of the footage. This was recorded in the famous Sun Studios. This is talked about in the interview, too, and the respect for that place and what has gone down there. And it's footage of them recording at Sun Studio.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. So lots to take in with these gentlemen. And the new album is out. Apple, what's the name of the album again?
The name of the album? I just had it pulled up here. I don't know why I blinked.
Welcome to the Land.
Yeah, Welcome to the Land.
So it's out on all the streaming platforms. Show these guys some love, man. This is music from the heart and soul, and Memphisippi Sounds deserves mad respect.
And as I said, this is to when I first listened to it, when Aaron said this is who we're going to. This is two dudes, and the sound that comes out of them is huge.
Yeah.
It sounds like a band. These guys are amazing. You're going to dig them.
Yeah. So we'll get you to the interview. We're going to do some real quick business, and we'll get you right to it. Remember to stick around after the conversation we have so that you can hang out with No Simple Road a little bit. Don't leave us hanging at the end of the interview, y'all. And stick around because there's more. All right. Don't forget.
Don't forget.
Promise?
I promise.
Okay, cool. Follow us on all the social media platforms at No Simple Road. Go to www.nosimpleroad.com and make sure you click on the merch tab up at the top, because there's all kinds of No Simple Road merchandise available. And you know what? It's chilly outside.
The perfect time for a hoodie. It's
the perfect time for a zip-up hoodie or a front pocket hoodie. And you could hook yourself up and you could represent the No Simple Road crew out there. Also, I had a couple of you reach out to me recently through our email inquiring about Street Team. Yes, absolutely. Anybody that wants to do Street Team for No Simple Road by handing out flyers when you go to shows, hit me up at info@nosimpleroad.com and I will give you the details and I'll give you a little gift for being part of the No Simple Road family and doing the legwork out there.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Seeing our flyers out there and we didn't give them out.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Finding stickers like on Instagram when they're at a show and you see a sticker stuck on a wall somewhere in a picture. That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, Street Team. Also, you can go to patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad.
No Simple Road.
That is how we pay the bills. Yes, there's bills when you do
what?
A podcast.
There's bills?
There is, Mel. You wow. wouldn't think that
you can't just live for free and do
no.
No.
Just gather
all the
money?
Technology people and software people want money and stuff.
No, and you know, you can give away your art for free, but you know, we're just asking for $1 a month or $5 a month if your heart is in it that way. If you, you know, listen to No Simple Road every week, you could pitch us $1. That'd be cool. Patreon.com/NoSimpleRoad. That's how we pay the bills and keep the lights on. What else? What am I missing?
The Tepid Line.
What's the number?
971-808-1524.
That number again.
971-808-1524. Yeah, and when you dial that number, you can leave a fun Christmas story, a recipe that you're going to be making, maybe a nice cookie recipe.
Ooh,
you can
like
leave a
that.
Cool childhood memory. You know, you can leave maybe your favorite episode. You can do all kinds of fun stuff, but communicate with us at 971-808-1524.
And the most important thing that you could do for us here at No Simple Road is go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review or a 5-star. Oh, ooh, we got a new one.
We got a new one.
Right on.
Do you want to do it, Mel? I did the last one.
All right.
Yeah, I was very excited to just open that up and see that we have a nice, dope new review.
NSR brings the love.
Who did it?
Confounded Bridge 1211.
We love you.
Yes, we do, Confounded Bridge 1211. Thank you so much. So on November 23rd, these homies run a killer show full of all kinds of topics. The biggest continuing thread I see through all the episodes, though, is love. They truly care about the community, family they have created, and are continually finding new ways to spread their message throughout the cosmos. Wowie zowie. Thank you so much.
Wowie zowie. Hell yeah, dude.
That's sweet. No, I said wowie zowie because
oh.
I feel like
oh,
it,
okay.
I feel like it
no, that's a good
that.
Response to that. Well,
that's really sweet, Confounded Bridge 1211. That
we appreciate
is what we're
that
talking
so
about.
Much.
Hit the 5 stars and then be like, oh, No Simple Road is super cute and fun. I love listening to them on my drive home, whatever it is. And we'll read it and we'll feel all warm and fuzzy.
And the main thing that that does, besides the warm and fuzzy thing, is it helps other people find out about the show. But
yeah,
if you want to get involved in doing that, you know what you could do? Tell somebody that doesn't listen to the show that you think would dig it about it.
Word of mouth.
It's a big deal, man. So, you know, that
maybe
doesn't cost anything but some air.
This is another thing. What if you do know somebody that listens to the show, but they've never heard your favorite show? Mm. So you can tell them about your favorite show, maybe swap favorite shows and listen that way.
It'd be like a No Simple Road book club, but with interviews. Wow. That's a good idea, Mel.
It's a really good idea.
All right. So you all have your homework. Go out there and handle all of it. Patreon and reviews and do all the stuff. And we'll keep doing all the stuff. And right now we're going to do the main stuff.
What's that?
We're going to get you to the interview. So without further ado, the No Simple Road crew gives you the
Memphis-sippy sounds.
Thank you. What's happening, man?
What's up, man? Where you guys at?
We're in Portland, Oregon. Where are you?
Portland, Oregon. I'm in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, shit. I'm Aaron, by the way.
What's up, Aaron?
And I'm Apple.
Apple. Aaron and Apple. What's up? Yellow P. Live in
the- So, hey, man. Lots of stuff going on with you, huh?
Well, we should...
Lots of stuff going on, man.
Yeah.
You guys got a chance to check the album out?
Oh, yeah. We were just listening to... Well, it's very appropriate. We were listening to the track Saturday Morning right before we walked in here.
That's the one.
Hey, yeah. Man, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody that's listening so they know who we're talking to?
What's up, everybody? I'm Yellow P out of Memphis, Tennessee, Beale Street harmonica player, among other things, singer, songwriter, whatnot, half of the duo of Memphisippi Sounds. What's up? Welcome to the land.
Yeah, I love it, man. You know, it's very cool that you are with Little Village, man.
Man, it is. It's crazy how the link up came through Aki Kumar. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yeah.
But an excellent harmonica player, and he kind of brought us into the Village, man.
Yeah, and also our other connection is Dennis McNally, man. Like, that, in our world, that is, like, iconic, legendary status. You know what I'm saying? Like, that guy is OG, as they say. And I'm curious, man, how did you all hook up with Dennis?
Well, Dennis, that hookup came through Little Village.
Oh, okay.
That was all Little Village just put it together, man. It's just been cool process so far.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And, you know, it's cool, too, because, like, Dennis and Little Village are exposing your music to, I think, an entire group of people that are really going to dig on it. And people that maybe not would have had the chance to be exposed to it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. So far, man, I've just been overwhelmed. I'm seeing, you know, people from everywhere. You know, I'm just here in Memphis, so we're not really seeing it, but we'll get the emails and be like, oh, wow, it's over here. It's over there now. So it's so many people, even around the world, have been checking us out. I'm like, wow, you know, they're really pushing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then you add on top of it, you guys go in and you record at Sun Studios. I mean, you talk about a legendary place to go in and do your work. That's amazing on its own, too.
Yeah, man, the mojo is real in Sun. They got the pictures on the wall. They got the instruments still there, amps. It's just unreal. And then to know who recorded there from, just all the guys from Elvis to Howlin' Wolf, it's just unreal. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
So is this the first time that the two of you have ever gone into the studio together?
And recorded and finished the project. Yeah, we started and stalled on some things, but this was the first time it just felt right and it came together.
It's cool when stuff like that happens, man. When it's time for something to go down and the universe sees fit to put you together like that and make something happen, and then you end up in Sun Studios with this group of people that you got behind you working, you know that you got something special, man.
Oh, yeah. I can't complain.
So, tell me, man, I'm curious, how did you get started playing the harp?
Man, the long and short of it, I fell in love with the sound when I was young. If you guys remember, and I'm sure you probably do, there was this show called Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, it was a harmonica.
Oh, that's right.
Wah, 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 wah. So, I would hear that when I was young and like, what is that? And then on top of that, like Saturday mornings around my way, mom and dad would make you clean up.
Okay.
And in Memphis, there was a blues station, WDIA, if you never heard of them. But they were like the first black radio station in America. But every Saturday, they do all blues.
Okay.
And so it was all blues Saturday. So they making us clean up. I'm hearing blues and harmonica and all that is just in my ear. And I'm like, what is that? I got to get one. So when I turned 13, I saved my lunch money up for a month, bought my first harmonica, man. And that's how I got started.
So I'm blown away by people that can play the harmonica, man, because it seems like such a simple instrument. When you watch somebody play it, you're like, oh, I could totally do that. I could just grab that and play it. And then you pick it up and you sound like shit. And how do you, like, I know that practice is the thing that gets you there, but like, to learn how to play the harmonica, like, what do you do? I wouldn't even know where to start, man.
Well, listen, first, you got to know what you want to sound like.
Okay.
So you listen and know where you're going. But I happen to have one here.
Okay.
So if you can see it, it's 10 holes on it, and you can breathe in and out, and it's numbered.
Okay, so, yeah.
You know, you can find books or things that tell you what to do, but basically, you know, you just breathing in and out, and you find your tune, and you go for it.
Okay.
That's so cool, man.
Well, that's how my grandpa played the harmonica, like starting back in World War II and stuff. And he left, you know, he's passed now a while ago, but he left me some harmonicas. And I've tried and messed around. And once in a while, you get a good sound and you get stoked and then you like lose it and stuff. And it's not easy. And also, the thing I love about it is like that. It's one of the easiest. So you can carry that anywhere. You could carry 20 of them with you.
Hey, and I do.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, guys are jealous of me doing setup and breakdown because they're like, man.
Yeah.
I walk with my instrument in my pocket. They lugging amps and all this craziness. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know what but
hey, wait, would you guys hurry up, set man? Up.
All right, I'm ready.
I'm ready to go. Would you guys hurry?
So how did the two of you hook up, man? Were you friends before this and then the music came out of that? Or was this a partnership of music from the get-go?
Man, the music brought us together. We met at a pickup gig on Beale Street.
Okay.
A pickup gig, somebody calls a guy, and you just playing with guys you don't know. And so I got called to play harmonica. Cam Kimbrough, he got called to play drums. And so we met on stage. And, you know, they call a song and we just playing. It's like, wow, this guy, you know, who's this guy on drums? And I think he felt the same way about my harp playing. And so later on, Cam really, like, he called me. I was doing a Facebook Live and he called me. I'm like, I know he's CBI on the book. And he's like, I got a gig. I was like, oh, okay. He's like, if you can get here in 20 minutes, we got a gig. And so that was like our first gig, you know, no rehearsals or anything. It was just come down to the New Daisy and basically rocking out. It's just been the same ever since. The music just kept bringing us together.
So wow. it felt different. When you got on the stage with him, you knew there was something there, man.
Oh, yeah, man. It's not too many guys around that really love the music like that. Right. And really, like, you know, we play for free. It was like, I'm a play. And so it's like, we just get together, let's play. You know, we hang out. We don't get together and watch TV. You know, we get these instruments out. So not a lot of guys around that really just do it like that, especially in our genre. Like, so it was something special from the beginning, man.
So in reading in your bio, man, there's a couple of really interesting things in there for me, particularly because, you know, I grew up out west, so I've only been down south a couple of times in my life. And okay. It talks a lot about like the difference between North Mississippi music and Tennessee and how there's like a vast difference between those two places. And to me, it seems like the blues came from there and that's what it is. But can you explain to me like kind of what the difference is between like the hill country music and like regular blues music?
One, I'll just say the polish. A lot of guys, you know, around in this area, they come up to Memphis to make the music go a little more sophisticated and polished because it's just more people coming from wherever, you know, in this tri-state area of Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee. Memphis will be, you know, the hub or the bigger city. So we always have more of an influx of more musicians. So the sound is, you know, a little more sophisticated, plus tourists and all of that. Mm. So you get more of that. But like in the hills, it's not that big influx of different people coming in. So that music kind of stayed the same. It's not really all the way polished. It's beautiful, but that polish and sheen of the city is not there. And for me, I always found home in that deeper sound. So when I found, really when I met Cam, it's kind of when I found that sound. I grew up in Memphis and on Beale Street, so I was more used to more the 12 bar sound, but I always felt something deeper. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's the difference. It's more deeper, you know. It's really almost like therapy. You plan for you. It's not like you're just trying to play for people or trying to make a buck or anything. It's like you playing really what you feel.
Okay. Well, then that's what it sounded. We were sitting out on the patio this morning listening, so it's fresh in our ears and everything. And there's always that kind of comparison. And we're sitting there, we're like, dude, this reminds me of like early Hendrix when he played with Band of Gypsies. And then we heard like Smokestack Lightning, and we heard a lot of different influence and like grittier, like you said, not as polished and stuff, and more emotional, more emotion coming through it.
A lot of emotion, man. You know, we sitting on that one chord, so it gives you room to be more emotional because you're not all up in the chords, you know, so right. You really got to find,
yeah,
you really got to be doing with you, man.
You can feel it, man. You can feel it coming through. And I think because it's not overly technical, like you're saying, man, it's the heart comes through. You could feel that energy coming through those speakers, man. You could feel the soul of it. And, you know, there's a lot of pain and frustration that comes through, and also a lot of joy that comes out of that. And, It's fucking awesome what you guys are doing, brother. It's super sweet.
Even I'm mad. I love I'm mad. The lyrics on that, you know, it's not too deep, but it is deep, and just that delivery. I'm mad, but I ain't but I ain't upset. And the way you guys lay that out, it touches. It's got that old feel, but it also like, you know, who's gonna ride and stuff like it's nowadays, but it also has that old feel. You guys combine that like very well.
Man, a lot of times, unfortunately, what I see with the blues, I feel people just get stuck in what happened back then. Mm. And for me, growing up, I, you know what I'm saying, I have a story too. I'm going through some shit too, you know what I'm saying? Like, my grandfather was a sharecropper, but that's not my story. Yeah. My story is different, you know? I'm dealing with city shit. I'm dealing with police. I'm dealing with gangs, I'm dealing with different things. So I'm like, I got a different story, but the lineage is still there. Like, I still, I'm trying to imitate, like my grandfather, he was a singer. So I'm trying to imitate some of what he's doing, but I got to tell my story too. You know, I grew up on my father's record collection that did have Hendrix in there and Ohio Players and all these funk guys. And so all of that might sneak in a little bit here and there or in different ways. You know, you never know how it comes out. Cause like I said, I'm just playing how I feel.
Right.
But, you know, and Cam brings all his experiences. And so it's like, I can't keep retelling, you know, a story. It's not my story to tell. You know, I got to tell what's happening with me.
Well, dude, and there's plenty to fucking talk about right now. I mean, shit, the world has flipped the fuck out in the last 2 years, man.
If you ain't getting in touch with the blues during that lockdown and the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. When I like it. What one of you said, too, I love that. That was in, like, the press thing, too, that it's like, okay, you know, anybody can connect to the blues, especially men. Like, we all know the loss of a woman walking out. That's something. I mean, young, old, you've been through. If you've been through one relationship, it doesn't matter if you're in middle school or what. You know that heartache of a woman breaking your heart.
Yeah, it hurt, and that's universal, man. And so even telling those stories, man, of love, loss, or even just love, lust, whatever, mm-hmm. It's all.
Well, I think that's the thing, man, like, that's always drawn me to the blues and that kind of music is the partially the storytelling and also the heart of it, like we were talking about, that there's no, when you're talking about feeling and emotion, that's a universal thing. That doesn't matter what color you are, what fucking your hair looks like, what color your eyes are, where you've been. Everybody's felt pain. Everybody's lost a woman or a man. Everybody's fucking gone through some shit in their life, and we all know how it feels to hurt or feel good. So that's where we all can connect and find connection. And I think that's, at least in my mind, part of the power of music is.
Oh, yeah, man. The music, you know, they say it's a universal language. It's a universal language, man. I always like to say, like George Clinton said, imagine one nation under a groove.
Right.
Like, shit.
Yeah.
So
we juke together, you know, in the juke joint, Cam always say, I'm mad I didn't get turned on to it until after it was gone. But he's like, everybody's welcome in the juke. We in there to have fun. Fuck all the other shit.
That's how I feel when we go to the shows we go to. It's about the music and about the community and the people, man. It's not about anything outside of that place or any bullshit going on. And that's the best thing that could possibly happen to this planet right now. I mean, like you said, man, if you didn't find the blues or connect to it during lockdown, there's something you're fucked up. Something's wrong with you, man.
Yeah.
So tell me, man, like going through the experience of the pandemic and like being locked down and all that, how did you take care of yourself, man? I'm curious.
Well, a lot of music, man. So I really just picked my guitar up, picked my harmonica up, and just going through playing a lot of music. Cam and I, we hooked up often. Fortunately, man, I got a day job that kept going and kept the bills going. But musically, Cam and I, we went back to the streets. Like, we're a juke band. I cut my teeth on Beale Street just playing on the streets. So they closed the clubs. I'm like, hey, you can't shut the music. You know, I just go to the streets. So we went to the streets and just were playing like in parks around town, different things. And the people so appreciate just hearing any live music.
Oh yeah.
And for me, I'm the type, I just got to play. So I play for a fly. It don't matter. I'm playing.
Yeah.
I love that, man. I'll play for a fly.
How's it? I'm curious now because, like, we started out here on the West Coast was a little slow and letting shows start happening again. We started, like, into July, able to go back to our first shows where people were allowed. How's it looking out there in Memphis?
Well, you know, Memphis, we've been rolling. Shows have been going on. It's been slowly picking up, but
it's happening.
It's happening. We just got back from Nashville last week. We did a cool show out there. And we got some cool stuff coming up. Bobby Rush at BB King's here. We'll be opening up for him November 16th. Oh, shit. So it's starting to roll a little bit.
So with the release, you guys pushed the release of the album up, right? You were going to release in November, but you released it early. Is that right?
Yeah, in October 15th.
So what made you release early?
I think that was more of a label thing and some kind of deadlines trying to make and just going to get it out there.
Right. It makes sense, man. I think everybody's hungry for new stuff right now. I think now is the time, especially like Apple was saying, now that stuff is starting to open up and shows are starting to happen. It's important to get the new stuff out there because people's ears are hungry.
Oh, yeah, man. And they've been eating up, I feel, man. So I'm just excited, man. This is my first outing, getting some music out. And so far, the reception has been pretty cool.
So do you guys have any plans to do like a tour or go anywhere like out of the South to bring this music out here or anything?
Man, we would love to get out, man. We're going to look and see where the demand is to see if we can get to you, man. We would love to get out and go. So we're looking into that, man, and getting some tour support, see if we can put it on the road, man. We'd love to bring the land to the world.
Heck yeah. You would do good out here in Pacific Northwest. You know, we got Fruition and some bands out here. There's some cool jazz clubs. There's a lot going on out here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to connect with them.
You know, man, the album has a really strong message to it, and I think it really intensely reflects everything that kind of went down during lockdown and the stuff that happened with George Floyd and all that, man. Can you talk to me a little bit about writing the songs that you wrote for the album, and like, was that your intention to put out a strong political message with this thing, or was it just what came out of you naturally?
It's more natural. Music for me, I always tell people it's like a sneeze. I got to do it.
Right.
It wells up and it's like, I chew. So like, like yeah. With Who's Gonna Ride, I was on my back porch and just seeing everything going on with George Floyd, and just seeing how people were trying to weigh in and like a man, dad, and somebody had their foot on his neck and it's like, I don't care what the fuck he did before that. Like he had handcuffs on, what the fuck? And I've had some experiences and run in with police and just everybody I know has. And so it was like, if something happened to little old me, would the world come out and, you know, make a fuss and ride with me, or would it just be me alone dealing with this? And so that was more like I say, like a sneeze, just me kind of thinking out loud, like, who's going to ride? Like, you know, sometimes you ride and you feel alone. you know, even though, you know, you got people with you, sometimes you just feel alone in some of those situations, like, wow. You know, even though people were filming, it still didn't turn out good for George.
Mm-mm. Yeah. No. But you know what, man? I think there's something that changed in the collective consciousness of this country during all that. I think that it really fucked people up, and it changed the way that people see the world. And it's fucked up that it happened, but at least some good came out of something fucked up that happened, you know? And also, man, like, calling attention to shit like that through music is part of the job of the musician, don't you think? Like, that is kind of the job description.
Man, with the people I fell in love with early in life, and not just the blues musicians, but like Marvin Gaye and that What's Going On album and Stevie Wonder, you know, if I would have landed anywhere else in the world, maybe I would have sounded like Stevie, like he was my idol, but I'm here in the home of the blues, so my harmonica doesn't sound like his, but his messages always touched me as a youth, like listening and even like the song he did for Martin Luther King and his birthday, and just the artists I respected always spoke on what was going on. Even B.B. King, Muddy Waters, they always would put something in there, you know, like, you know, I was like, if I got a voice, let me use it.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. I think that when you sit down to listen to music, you're not sitting down with your guard up. You're opening up. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting down to take it in. And like you said, it comes to you like a sneeze. That's the musician's job, is to reflect the world that's around them. And then the person that's open is receiving it. So music has a way of touching people and changing their minds and making them see shit they wouldn't have seen otherwise. And I think that's a really important part of the blues and all music, especially right now.
Oh yeah. Beautifully said, man. Beautifully said. Yeah. Like, wow. Yeah. I do feel like it takes a certain amount of being naked in front of the mic, like when we go in and just opening up. So we just channel it. It's just coming through. And so it's beautiful when it's well received like that. Like I say, it's like a sneeze. It's like it's just coming out. And so, you know, it's not, especially with how we write, it's not like we're writing a hook to say, let's do this and everybody will be dancing and let's do this. It's like we're playing. We're just playing and letting it go. And that's what it's so surprising. Like it's well received. This is not like pop music where we're writing to grab your ear per se.
Mm-hmm.
This is us venting or us channeling and just letting it out. So yeah.
Well, that's what I love about you guys are doing. That's like kind of like our this podcast and what we do started out as kind of Grateful Dead related because of our love for that improvisational music that allows so much space for the communication within that. And we hear that in you guys, you know, it's open. So more creativity, more love, more, you know, everything, all your emotions come through in it.
And, you know, I always wonder, man, like I write poetry, right? And like, it'd be scary as fuck to get up in front of a bunch of people and read my poetry because, like you said, you're naked in front of everybody. And I just wonder, like, when you're up there and you're blowing harp like that and you're just like pouring it out, was there ever a point where it was scary for you to get up in front of people and just like be naked like that?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yes. I'm more of an introvert anyway, and like to be to myself. But when I am to myself, I'm playing a harp or whatever, so it would always attract people. And so, I just go to a corner, like, let me practice this and do my thing over here. But people would come, and then I go to another corner, and then they come. So, it's like, eventually, I got used to it, and I just accepted it. I just started accepting it. But still, when I play, like, I close my eyes because I'm really tuning in to me. And if my eyes are open, I start tuning in a little more to the crowd. And I'm the type of person, whatever's going on, I'm tuning in. So okay. If I see you dancing, I might start dancing.
Okay.
Or if I see you frowning, I might wonder why you're frowning. That might throw me off. And so a lot of times I got to still channel. It's almost like Zen. I got to zero out is what I call it, to really get it going, man, and get it out. So there was a time where I was a little more shy with it, but now I try to broadcast it and put it out there, but I'm still tuning in, you know, to myself to make sure it's pure and honest.
Wow. That's the goal right there, is to make sure it's pure and honest. And I think that's why the reception has been the way it has been for you guys. That's what we picked up on when we first turned it on. When Dennis sent it to me, I was like, okay, let me check this out. And I put it on, and immediately within the first 30 seconds, I was like hitting him back going, yep, let's have him on, man. Like, let's do it. And it's there. You could feel it. And that's not something to me. That's not something that you can fake. You can't fake that funk. You cannot do it. If you're trying to bullshit that, listeners pick up on it. You can feel that heart and that energy coming through when you're, like you said, when you're zeroed out and you've tuned into something bigger than yourself and it's coming through. You can hear it.
Man, it's kind of like my grandmother made quilts.
Okay.
And she would take pieces of this and pieces of that. She might take my old baby clothes and put it in there, some jeans. And so it's the same thing, like from the community. We're going to take a piece of this and what's going on over here. It might be my story. It might be a story you told me, my best friend. And it kind of all meshes up in the music. And then it's like, you know, we're just broadcasting it back. But it's like, it's all of our story. Like, and it's just like those quilts, man. She'll take a piece of this and that, and it makes a greater whole, I think.
Well, that's amazing to be open like that, doing that. It makes you open like your grandmother. She probably didn't know what the end product was going to be. When you're open and the things are coming to you, you're putting them together, you probably surprise yourself with what you come out with sometimes. Like, damn.
Right. It's like, wow, man. If you listen to the album, and I appreciate you all, you might hear on one of the songs, I'm saying, like, I hope y'all push play, because I'm playing. You know, I'm just playing. So, you know, even in the studio, we were really vibing, and, you know, we'll come with some loose ideas, but a lot of times we want to leave room for the magic, as we call it.
Well, it sounds from like what you little bit we read too, like you guys went in with not a lot of recording experience and had a very smooth process. Got it down pretty quickly. It came out clean. I mean, that doesn't always happen.
Well, I'd say both of us have recorded with others, but the way we recorded this album, I've never, as a sad man, I've recorded with people, you know, that say, put this there, or they are producers, say, well, we want this or that. But this process was Aki Kumar producing. He kind of just let us be as free as we are. And so what you guys are hearing is like a session when Cam and I get together. It's like a session in the living room.
Okay.
We're just playing. But this time it happened to be recorded.
Yeah. So when you go into a studio like in Sun Studio, and your intention is to record an album, is there pressure on you to like get it done fast in there? Because I know that recording shit ain't cheap, man. So
What is a city without its music?
The legacy of the New York Philharmonic
is incredible. Nearly two centuries of history. That's a lot of music and a lot of stories.
I was sitting on stage for the very first time thinking, I can't quite believe this is happening.
Join me, Jamie Bernstein, as we explore the history of the New York Philharmonic. It's the NY Phil Story Made in New York, a podcast about a city, its people, and their orchestra. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The pressure this time, not necessarily to get it done fast, but we had 2 days to get it done. In between those 2 days, we had the North Mississippi Hill Country Festival we did. And so we went in the studio, played all night, then we had to get up like early 6, 7, 8, drive down, do the festival, come back, and, you know, put on whatever else, do the rest of the song. So that was kind of the pressure to just, we got 2 days to get it done.
Oh, shit.
Wow, okay. With a gig in between.
with a big gig in between for us, it was like, so we knew we were going to be tired. We knew certain things were going to happen with that. So we knew we just had to crunch down and do it. But for us, we kind of just let it flow. We don't let the pressure affect us per se. I'm not thinking about that
right.
When I'm playing, I'm playing. So if all we got was one good song, that's all we got. But I'm glad we were able to get what we got. But like I say, the integrity and the honesty for me and the music is more important than all of that shit.
Yeah.
But we were able to pull it off, man.
Yeah, you were. I'm curious about the festival, man. What's that like? The Hill Country Festival.
Well, that festival, like for me, I kind of feel like almost like an outsider, like coming from Memphis. So, you know, a lot of those guys are from North Mississippi, Cam, you know. So for me, that's like my first time really down there. It's like some of it is still new to me. Like I'm a Beale Street guy.
Right.
So for me, it's like I'm getting my feet, I'm getting rebaptized. My first baptism was with Cam's mom, She-Wolf Jones. And she had this yard party, and all the cats came out. R.L. Boyce, Sid Burnside came through. It was just this yard party, and just everybody was jamming, man. And after that, I was hooked. And so going to that festival was just, it kind of had that yard party feel, but just bigger. So it was cool, man.
Wow. Man, we're gonna have to go check that out. For sure.
Oh yeah, man, get you some moonshine and do it.
Okay. Apple can roll with the moonshine.
I'm good. Yeah.
So, tell me, man. Like we were talking about, there's a lot of shit that's gone on in the world, and being a musician, you've got a unique position to have a voice and a platform. If you had like one bit of advice for kids coming up today that want to play music, what would it be?
Don't be afraid to be yourself. Like that's been the only thing, man. I'm from the hip hop generation. So when at 13, when I picked this up, you know, all my friends were like, man, you need to be rapping, you know, but you know, I stuck with it. Like I say, the harmonica chose me at a young age. I fell in love with the sound. But I came up through the hip hop generation, through the trap music, like Memphis 3-6 Mafia, if you know anything about all those styles of music, that is what was popular here. Like that's all I was hearing. And you kind of had to like, either I'm hanging with my parents and hearing the blues, but you know, my friends were all on different things. And I was on it too. Like I rap, I do all of that. But the harmonica and the blues, you know, it called me. And so I would just tell any youth or anybody, just be true to yourself and don't be afraid to do it, you know, even if you're the only one. Like for me, for a long time, I was the only one playing harmonica, and still now it's not a lot of us out here.
Did you catch shit from your friends for playing harp? And
hell yeah. You know, you should be rapping. What are you doing? All of that, you know, but like I said, I play it for the love, and it's like a sneeze. It was just in me, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, they ain't talking shit now, are they?
Oh, hell no. <nah.
laughs> Right on, man.
They trying to get with it.
Oh, I was going to say, I got to say, we always do. Going forward from here and stuff, first of all, We didn't tell you that at the beginning. You're missing. There's usually three of us.
Oh yeah.
We're missing Aaron's wife, Melanie, who is going to be upset she missed this interview. Mm-hmm. We would love to go on forward.
Hate help to miss you, Mel.
Yeah, we would love to help promote you guys. We'd love to follow up with you guys in the near future and have you and Cam on together because Melanie, she's from Brooklyn.
No, she's from the Bronx.
Or the Bronx. Puerto Rican from the Bronx with a real strong love for rap, which she is. I've always been more into rap and things like that than Aaron, but she's brought that into his life. And she's just a party. She is so fun, but she had to work today because we had to go to a couple shows this week. So she's not here today. But we know she sends her love and is gonna already loves listening to you guys. So we would love to help promote you, help what we can do to get you out here to the West Coast, you know, all those types of things. And then when you guys do make it out here, we have a nice big house that we love to have people come stay at. Love to do some home cooking, give you a little shelter when you're on the road besides a bus or a van or a Motel 6 or something, you know, where we're here. We love what you guys are doing.
We definitely open to it. Hate you missing it, Melanie. We have to come back with everybody, man, and do it big.
Yeah, man. We'll definitely do it again. And when you guys are getting ready to hit the road or you come out with another album, please, man, hit us up and let us know so that we can do this again and have you on.
Will do, man. I've enjoyed it, man. You can let the people know they can look us up at MemphisSippySounds.com. We're on Instagram, MemphisSippySounds. We're on YouTube, MemphisSippySounds. We're on Facebook, MemphisSippySounds. A lot of people are like, how do you spell that? Spell Memphis, M-E-M-P-H-I-S, add an extra S-I-P-P-I, M-E-M-P-H-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, Sounds, S-O-U-N-D-S.
All right,
Memphis man. With the Mississippi.
I love the way you guys mash that up too. Well, I'm just curious too. Where's Cam today?
Cam, man, I think he's working, man. So, I mean, he's busy, man.
Yeah, keep it going. Oh yeah.
You know, if usually we play a song at the end of the conversation that we have. If you had to pick one song from the album for me to play, what would it be?
Crossroads.
You got it.
Okay,
done deal. Take Hell care of yeah, yourself, man. We'll talk to you soon. Hit us up and let us know if we can do anything for you, man.
We'll do. Enjoy it, fellas.
Yeah, peace. You guys keep being you, man. We love it.
Peace. Take care, man.
Peace.
Trying to treat you. Memphis. Well, pretty babe, just trying to be nice, cause I want you to be my lady.
Wait, let's see if you guys can you hear Darwin snoring? Now he stopped. As soon as I talk, he snores again. Hey, everybody, what's going on? We're back at the back, in the back, at the end.
We at the back.
What's up?
Front to back.
Did you enjoyed that interview, and I hope you're going to listen to Memphisippi Sounds.
Well,
and
they just did.
Yeah. Well, more. I mean, to listen to their album. And
yes.
You heard some of the songs. But yeah, you got to go check these guys. I was just saying to them too. One thing I loved was his speaking voice is so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. And somebody that can just like, I don't know, the harmonica is like a magic little thing. It's you hold it in the palm of your hand, and that sound can take you on a journey. Mm-hmm. From that little tiny
piece of amazing the sound that comes out of something that small. And like you heard him play a little bit in the interview. He just did that sitting in the car. And like he said, that's the dope thing about playing harmonica is it's so easy to carry. You could carry 20 of your instruments with you in a vest.
You could be like John Popper and have a tackle vest.
Yeah,
you don't need an amp for that.
No,
you could just do it anywhere. And I love, you've heard the interview now, I love that his inspiration, where he first got his inspiration was the Sesame Street intro with the harmonica. That's what hooked him as a kid. He's like, I want to know how to make that sound.
I had a similar experience with the flute.
Because you're a flautist?
I played the flute.
Did you? You did play the flute before you got into sax.
Mm-hmm. Because of MASH, because of the soundtrack to MASH, I wanted to learn how to play the flute.
Is that flute?
No, it's not. But
you can play MASH.
So I took up the flute in sixth grade. Yep, that was me.
I'm going to buy you a flute just because I want you to learn to play MASH on it. That'd be fun.
Okay, do it, man. I'll I'll be like Ron Burgundy and bust out jazz for
jumping on the dining room table, like kicking shit over.
So, yeah, we're back and hanging out here.
I think
the
they know we're back.
And I just want to say
we're back again. Hey, we're back.
I just want to say that I hope everybody had a beautiful Thanksgiving. I hope that everybody got to eat the food they wanted to eat, and you had the leftovers that you wanted to have left over, and that the people that were at your house or wherever you went was super dope and fun, and that you are grateful for
that you got whatever you wanted. That's even right. It's like we had a nice chill Thanksgiving. I was very thankful for that. We had, it was all of us in the household, and then we had our good buddy Bryce and Mason over, and that was just, it was so fun and chill. And so we had perfect. Oh my God, we had the spread. It's Bryce's mac and cheese.
You know, in years past, we would do it up for Thanksgiving. There would be a ton of people at our house and cooking all day, coming and going. And by the time dinner rolled around, like, I would be exhausted from
already
doing shit all day. And this year was so different. This was like the easiest, most relaxing.
All day was like
piece of cake. Like, there was no traffic jam in the oven.
Literally everything came out in perfect timing. And unless you have double ovens, when does that ever happen?
Right?
Nothing happens. Simon made the turkey this year. It was amazing. My Brussels sprouts were so good. Sweet potatoes were amazing. And just the vibe. It was more quiet.
Your mashed Brussels sprouts. I don't want them any other way than when you mash them, it gets more of the crispy bits like going. That was fucking good.
It was really good.
When your 19-year-old son shows you up cooking a turkey.
Oh my God. I loved the discussion about you and the dry turkey. And he's like, why do you have to have it that way? There's different ways to have it. But you do.
He just likes everything well done. But that was so cute when Simon, because he came out of the patio. It was like 2 days before.
Yeah, a couple days before.
And he like sheepishly, because Simon is so respectful when it comes to some things, but then like a bowl in a china shop and with
other shit.
And he's like, so guys, I know you usually do the turkey. And we immediately were like, fuck yeah. Because first of all, Simon is a dope cook. Almost everything he makes is amazing.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, dude. And he had all these grandiose. He went through many recipes. Like, I'm going to spatchcock it, and I'm going to do this and that. He ended up just doing kind of traditional, and it was amazing. My God, it was so good.
It was just cool because everybody brought their A game to their, like, one or two dishes that you made, and the house was super clean, and it just felt good in the house all day. And I remember looking at you at one point. We were having dinner, and, like, the lighting was perfect, and then the light was on in the living room, and like football was on, and it was just I don't know,
picture perfect
it
for us.
Yeah, it was picture perfect. It reminded me of a little bit when your dad was around because of the football, so I just kind of had that energy. And then the lighting was kind of like twilight-ish. Mm-hmm. And it was just like you guys said, just being really grateful for like Bryce and Mason coming. They both brought such fun and like great energy. It was
They're just sweethearts, mm-hmm. those two. And I'm glad you said that about the football thing, because I'm always kind of reluctant because this household is not into sports at all other than to me.
Well, like, and for Mason, 20 minutes maybe.
Mason is like out there looking at his phone, like looking at scores. And Bryce is like, just ask him. I'm like, ask what? He's like, can we put on the game, bro? It's coming down to the end. I really want to see it. And I came bursting in the house, and I announced to Aaron and Mel in the kitchen pulling things together. I was like, I have to put on football because Mason is requested, and he's our guest. And then everybody ended up enjoying it at one time or another the rest of the evening with football.
It's kind of like having the parade on.
It's a nostalgia
on.
Thing. Like you said, with Aaron's dad, it was always in my household. It was on in the background, the parade. Now they have, I love, earlier in the day, I was laying in my room watching every year they have the National Dog Show.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. I love watching the dog show. That's like a Thanksgiving tradition thing. It's just super cute and nostalgic.
And then earlier in the day, my sister came over with the two babies and her mother-in-law, and it was just such a nice time to see my sister. She's moved out of Oregon, so it was the last few times we got to spend together, and yeah, man, family's important.
Those babies are so cute.
I just
want
to underscore that, too. Family is important. See them as often as you can.
Yeah.
When you can.
Absolutely.
Because time goes by so freaking quickly.
You know,
those babies grow up so quick.
You mentioned my dad, and if you listened to last week's episode, we were talking about my birthday, and you know, I was kind of tripping out a little bit, and I didn't realize leading up to everything that it was because my dad wasn't around, and it was like I kind of broke down in the outro of the show last week, and I got it. I was just looking for it, and I can't find it, but I got a DM from one of our listeners, man, and it was the sweetest DM. It just saying like that he lost his dad 14 months ago, and hearing me say that helped him.
That's dope.
And man, that like, and I replied to him with what I'm about to say, but what you guys heard was in real time. Like,
sorry guys, that was me. I forgot that it was going to make noise.
In real time, like, that was me, like, realizing some shit on the air. That wasn't, like, planned. I wasn't thinking about that earlier in the day. I didn't realize that earlier in the day. And that just happened. And it's, I guess at this point, like, 5 years into doing No Simple Road, that shouldn't be embarrassing, but it is still. In some ways,
anytime
like,
you share yourself, it's going to be embarrassing, or you know, that brings up that vulnerable feeling.
Put yourself out there, and it feels weird. And I just, God, I wish I could remember his name. I just really appreciated that. It was validation for like it's okay to step out. And
well, not for nothing, but that's what really the show originated doing was stepping out. Telling your story, being vulnerable.
Yeah, that's true.
All the musicians is secondary. It's really about sharing what's going on. And I remember a lot of the feedback that we would get in those earlier episodes was us talking about our problems, trials, wins, all those things that were happening in people's lives that sometimes you don't get to share because maybe you don't have people around you. Maybe you can't be around people that you want to be. So that vulnerability and that affirmation, I think, is still like the lighthouse that No Simple Road represents. You know,
I agree.
That truth in emotion and being raw in the moment, not like rehearsed. And you know, we were not going to talk about that today,
right?
And that's what I love about the feedback we get and what we do. That this, so we've had many, even the artists on it, we get stuff out of them they're not aware, and they get emotional.
Well, like when we talked to Karina the other day.
Yeah, we don't know what we're gonna do until we start doing it, and it helps.
It's a jam band of the mouth.
Yeah. Well, we know we want to talk. We know that much, and we know that it may be centered around something that they're doing currently. But really, we want to get to know the person, and then beyond that, what's going on in your life, and kind of relating it to what we're going through in life. And I think that that really is a thread that the show's maintained throughout its almost 5 years. And it's one of the most valuable things to me.
Yeah. And
it really is,
you know, not for nothing. I know that the holidays this time of year is hard for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. And if we can provide like a little bit of comfort and distraction, entertainment, and family feeling for people, that's fucking dope.
I know.
That's
very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. That's like, wow, I never thought I'd get to do that. And we were talking to, shit, I think it was Karina Reichman, where I was saying I never thought in a million years, like this, doing this would be the thing that I would get to do. Like, I never could have thought it up.
Yeah.
But it just happened.
But you did.
But I did.
So
but
you
I
could
didn't.
Have thought it up.
If you had gone back to like 18-year-old me and been like, so, you know, there's no way.
Yeah. Well, nobody knows what's gonna cool shit they're gonna do when they're older.
But yeah, if you're out there and you're having a tough go this holiday season, hang out with us, man. We'll hang out with you.
Yeah, listen to the show. Listen to the artists and
reach out to us.
Yeah, because I know traditionally, because the show is our life, toward the end of the year, everybody gets reflective, starts thinking about the year, and we do like an end of the year recap and stuff like that. And we open our hearts and, you know, like, I'm feeling kind of blue that my sister's gone. Like, it sucks when somebody's moving on and that means they're changing locations. So that means your life changes also.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever connection you have changes. It doesn't go away, but it changes. And, you know, I never counted on that either, you know, the sharing and then people being like, yeah, thank you for doing that. Never thought anybody would say thank you for unloading on me.
Thanks for airing your dirty laundry.
Yeah,
it made me feel good. Like, what?
Well put. Oh my god.
But yeah, I'm feeling that's my week. Like, Thanksgiving was fantastic, but then like followed by a lot of emotional stuff because my sister is leaving town and starting a new life, which is fantastic, and I'm proud of her and I'm excited for her, but at the same time, it, you know, I'm bonded with my sister.
Yeah,
and
you guys are tight,
even though we haven't seen each other a lot over these last few months because she's baby and COVID and blah blah blah, like just knowing she's there is a comfort. And so it leaves me feeling like a little bit of a wacky inflatable arm person right now.
And Mel's sister is like, she's like just a sunbeam of happy. She's always like smiling. She's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these last few times she wasn't, she was so stressed out. And so like, you know, with anything, moving, two young kids, breastfeeding, driving, packing.
COVID.
Oh my gosh. She just had so many things. And so I'm glad that it's come to an end, but it sure is a fucking bummer to not have my childhood playmate, like
your baby sis,
my baby sister, and kind of like my daughter and my best friend that knows what I mean when I say a certain word, because we used to say it when we were younger, and that means a certain thing.
But now we have two places we could stay in California.
Yeah, no, now I'm excited because she's moving near Monterey, and that is somewhere that I've always wanted to go. So I'm excited about that in itself, for sure. I'm not going to stay downtrodden. I won't do that. But right now, it just happened.
In the moment.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right this moment.
I'm sorry, baby.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, we were talking about this earlier today. I don't know about you guys out there, but there's something in the air right now that there's a lot of turmoil going on around us. Not there, everything is cool here in the house, knock on wood, but around us in the world, and a lot of people that I know are really struggling with like work, having a hard time with their jobs, and
maybe elderly parents. I know I am.
Yeah. And one of our really good friends, at Get Inverted Amigos on Instagram, I won't get into the whole thing, but No Simple Road family, if you could collectively, like, no bullshit, this guy is the sweetest human being I have ever met. Like, when you say so-and-so wouldn't hurt a fly, this guy,
he's so-and-so.
Even though he is a bug dude, he really wouldn't hurt a fly, and is always the most positive, happy-go-lucky, sweet-hearted human being you had ever met. And he is going through a really fucking tough time right now. So if all of you out there could just collectively send him some love and good vibes through the ether, it would really mean a lot to me and Mel and Apple and him.
Yeah, because when you know somebody's just thinking good thoughts, it just makes you feel better. Like, you may not like take away your sickness or like your bad mood, but you feel a little bit lighter. You feel a little bit better. So sending him some, and his family, some just good, some energy. And
some energy and his puppy.
Yeah.
Amigo got hurt.
Yeah. This is like the 1-2 punch for him. And it's weird, man. Like, this guy literally, and I've said this on the show, this individual taught me how to be a better friend. And
Me too.
And seeing him go through stuff, like, I just want to help. I don't know. Like, I texted him today and I was like, look, dude, if I can go grocery shopping for you, do your laundry, like, come cook you guys dinner. If you just need to come over and vent, like, something, I just want to help. And I feel like I learned that skill from him.
Aw, that is exactly what he would do if we were going through what he's going through. Yep. He would immediately, first of all, he wouldn't even say that. He'd come do it. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, I brought you a pie. I cleaned out your front lawn. I smoked this. He's an angel heart.
He's a smoke master when it comes to tri-tip and briskets and stuff too.
It's summertime tri-tip.
So yeah, if everybody, you know what? Everybody who's part of the No Simple Road family, I am sure anybody and everybody in this group can benefit from a prayer or a good energy, like thought or love or hug or something. So think about that. Think about the logo and then think about everybody that might be listening and send them good loving, because we all need it right now during the holidays.
Yeah, man. So that has been going on this week, and I'm one of those people that I know that's going through turmoil with work. There's a whole bunch of crazy shit happening with my gig, and I'm not at risk of losing my job or anything crazy like that. It's just bureaucratic corporate America skullduggery and fuckery going on. And it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's because of we've gone back to shows, and you know, there's light at the end of the No Simple Road tunnel, and or whatever the reason is. It's just like the bullshit. My tolerance and proclivity to be able to handle it is -0. And I'm now the guy in meetings at work that's like, but that's bullshit. And tell you why.
just now.
That's been your role from day one, baby.
and it's to the point where it's like, oh, Aaron, and then on with the meeting.
But you're always good at that. A lot of times, especially with your word, you say what everybody else is thinking. They just won't say it.
Yeah, and then
got a boss that's cool enough to be like, Aaron did it again.
Yeah. Trust me, even he is going through it. And it's a weird, I told Mel today, I was like, it's either like in the air or the planets are aligned in a certain way or it's the time of year. I don't know. Well, but
all of the above, you know that.
It's all the above. It's the constant onslaught of what's going on in this world, too, of the shit they keep throwing at us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
now it's this. Now it's that. Now it's this. Now it's that. Blah, blah, blah. It's like fucking, it's hard to keep up with. And the amount of bullshit, it's like the fan is so, they've thrown so much shit at the fan. The fan's just clogged with shit and is barely like going,
Yeah, that's why it's way more fun to kick it with your friends. And
this is driving me crazy. I got to ask, what are those socks? Do they say Texas?
Texas.
Okay, I'm sitting here looking at it. It's like steak, star.
They're my steak socks.
Star, and then I just realized it starts with the T. It says Texas. Where'd you get Texas socks?
I'm going to give you one guess, genius. Texas, bro.
Oh my God.
Mel got them for me when she went to Austin.
Okay. I've never seen them. Look at it. It was like Blue Star Donuts. Okay. Now I have my answer. Aaron is wearing Texas socks.
Where'd you get those Texas socks, man?
All right. Oh,
Apple.
I was going to be like, but did Buzz send those to you or somebody down in Texas? Like, right on, Mel. Those are cool socks.
Yeah. I don't know how we ended up on my socks, but here we are.
I'm sorry because
I interrupted to ask.
I've been sitting here staring at them on and off while we've been doing this, trying to figure out what they say.
Now all you guys know. Go get yourself some Texas socks. So yeah, man, it's been a weird, heavy, kind of jumpy, bumbly, kind of weird week. And but I will say this: I feel fucking great. I just had my 50th birthday.
Yay.
I'm taking great fucking care of myself. I'm in the groove with running and taking my vitamins, and we're doing our smoothies in the morning.
You're
and all
on
that
an upswing.
Shit. and my body feels good, and I've been getting enough rest. And dude, if I could go back in time and tell myself one thing, it would be take care of your fucking body, dude.
I thought you were going to be like, invest in
this. Well, that, again, invest in Microsoft, and when Bitcoin comes out, buy a shitload. But besides that, it would be take care of your body, man.
Like, yeah.
It's so fucking important, and it feels so good to feel good. And I felt like shit for so long that, like, levels of feeling like shit were my feeling good, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I don't feel that shitty today.
Yeah. But I still feel shitty.
Feel less shitty than I did yesterday, but I'm still shitty.
But that feeling of like feeling good, and you could feel that your eyes are bright.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
That's dope. And I appreciate it. And I don't know, man. I'm just, even though all that shit's going on, I feel like I got Teflon this week. Like, cool. It's all good. All that stuff's happening, but I'm grateful. I'm super fucking grateful for the show and for you guys and for like being able to take care of myself. And like, I needed a new computer and I got it because I fucking worked for it and I had the funds to do it. And just like all that shit, it's like, so what? Everything that's going on out there.
It even affects us, but that's the outside of everything.
Our bubble is fucking dope as shit.
And well, what ends up happening is when we pay too much attention, not like at all, but when we pay too much attention is away from us, you know, from yourself. Like, you're all fixated on the outside, looking at people's Instagram, reading the media, doing whatever. The minute you give yourself an opportunity to drink your smoothie, or
smoke your smoothie,
run on the treadmill, or take a bubble bath. Like, you're giving yourself time now.
Yeah.
You know, like, screw all the other stuff. Okay, it's rainy outside. So what? I'm giving myself my time.
Yeah. And all that other stuff is like, there is a war on for your attention. Your attention is currency. And you can either pay.
And they're all trying to recruit you.
Yeah. And you can either pay that. You can either pay that attention because it's currency to yourself, or you can pay that attention to somebody else or something else. And
but you will pay.
You're paying one way or the other. And ass, grass, or gas. Nobody rides for free. So I don't know. I think I might have had an epiphany this year and realized that, like, I need to fucking pay attention to myself. And all that stuff is cool. It's fine. You can, you know, we got to be involved in the world that's around us. That's okay. But you also don't have to be in it. You can pay attention without being in it. So that's my public service announcement for the week. How about you, Apple?
Well, that's a good segue into me. Like the taking care of yourself, that is important. And I got a couple good updates. I'm thankful for Thanksgiving and all that, like we said. But then, when was it? Well, shit, when was it? It was, yeah, this was since the episode came out. I love being able to go to the doctor again. I didn't have insurance for a while. It's been a little while since I've given an update on the hemorrhoid issue. But I had another follow-up. I had several listeners who were like, thanks for sharing that, bro. It's fucking embarrassing. I've been staying steady with the doctor, taking care of myself, eating better. It's almost taken care of. And at the same time, I had to go in, and then this was very traumatic. Getting my I had a sebaceous cyst on my upper left arm, which is weird because the second one I've had removed, that both popped up in my rotten apple tattoo. So I had this one removed. I was on the table for like 45 minutes with them like cauterizing, which is terrible. You like smell like you're the burning barbecue as they're cauterizing and stuff, but they wanted to make sure to get it all taken care of. I've had stitches since last week. I go Thursday to get the stitches removed. It's all healing well. So, I mean, like, taking care of yourself, all those young people out there, kind of like Aaron said, start doing it now. I mean, you can still have fun and all that good stuff and everything, but, and I'll say this, take care of your teeth. on top of it.
We're turning into the deadhead grandparents.
Yeah, yeah.
You kids take care of your butthole and your teeth.
Yeah, welcome to the Dr. Phil show. I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to give you advice. But, I mean, I always say it. I basically have a sports car or two in my mouth from years of abuse and not taking care of myself. And it's just good to be older and taking care of myself and feeling better.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, like right now at work, we had our little check-in with our good friend Magnus, our nutrition coach we've talked about. And I told him right now that the everybody's heard now, if you pay attention to the news and the world, the flu is back. So we've had several people out sick, a few people trying to come to work with the flu, and that shit ain't getting near me. I'm doing good because I'm taking care of myself. So take care of yourself, everybody. It feels good.
It does feel good.
And that's pretty much my week. It is, you know, Thanksgiving was awesome. The weekend was just nice and chill.
And we actually had a day off.
Yeah. And I
speak
now
for yourselves.
yeah, true. And now we're rolling into Thursday night for anybody that's up in this area around us in Portland. We're going to see a good friends of us, the band Sego, S-E-G-G-O. They're going to be playing at the Douglas Fir on Thursday night.
And we've had them on the show before.
And we've had them on the show, yes. And go check out their music. They are awesome. And then it's Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
We're going. Fourth. Huh?
The 4th.
Yeah, Saturday the 4th. Yeah, may the 4th be with you. Oh, wait, no, that's a whole other thing. So Saturday night, we're going to see Lettuce at
Roseland
Theater. So we got a couple fun things coming up this week, and then we got a whole lot more cool, fun things. Like, and then I got to bring it up again because Aaron already mentioned it. We had an interview this weekend, which was like this weekend we had a day off, but then we talked to Karina Reichman on Sunday. She is so amazing. She is a bundle of energy and so funny and fun to talk to. That's going to be coming at you in the near future.
You guys
sometime
are
going to
have a blast hearing that one.
Yeah, and that's a day. She's just amazing. So it was a great week.
Right on. Well, you know, we are sliding slowly into December. The holidays are right around the corner. Are they
slip,
one of them already passed?
Away.
And
I'd be remiss if I didn't say happy 24th anniversary, baby.
Oh, shit. That's by the way,
oh,
today, November 30th, 2021, marks the 24th anniversary of Melanie and I getting married. This is we are 1 year away.
Solid as a rock.
Right? Oh.
We are solid as a rock.
We are.
That's why I gave you that
real
little
working on the silver anniversary.
Somebody said to me, oh, you guys turned a corner. And I was like, I love that. At a certain point, marriage becomes, and this is not true of everybody, of course, but like at a certain point when you've been with somebody for so long, there's a little bit of safety and stability in that. And like you're in it for the long haul. You've turned the corner.
Yeah.
It's like a milestone. You guys.
Yeah. I'm proud of it. And I love it. I'm proud of it.
We've been through our shit.
I think that's probably my kids and my marriage is one of my most like valuable assets and things I'm proudest of.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking sweet.
Because it's good.
Yeah, it is good, man.
It's really good.
I love you.
I love you too, baby.
Happy anniversary, baby.
Aww. Thank you.
25. Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
Huh? That's mind-boggling.
I'm not trying to make sense of it. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Dang.
Well, put that in your pipes and smoke
yeah,
it.
Yeah, congratulations to all you long-timers out there.
And all you short-timers, hey, stick it out if it's worth it, you know?
Stick it out if it's worth it, because it's worth it.
Sometimes you don't know.
That's true. We've had those moments.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't know, but then you got to go back to like the basics and be like, well, I made a promise and I'm not a liar and keep going from there and then
that is
work your shit out. So yeah, everybody, we love you guys. And you know what? Remember, we're all in this family together and we love you guys.
We are.
And you're the best listeners ever. And that's why we call you family. And that's why you're No Simple Road family. Pretty cool.
Ba-ba.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll be back next week with more stuff and things. And remember to go to nosimpleroad.com and get yourself some merch, because No Simple Road merch, I'm going to tell you something, it makes the perfect Christmas gift. Mm-hmm. We got coffee cups and fanny packs and t-shirts, and who doesn't like that shit? So go there, check it out. Also, go there and check out the calendar of events, because we're going to be still doing some stuff. We got a few shows left this year, and in next year, we're going to Goose and Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. And
ooh, there's Skull a lot of things roses. Building up next year.
And, oh, God, Northwest String Summit's brewing and all the goodness that's going to be that. And so, yeah, stay tuned. We got a lot of really good stuff coming your way. And we have a special Christmas episode planned for all of you. And we don't even know what it is yet.
Yeah, we're not sure yet. We're working on some things.
Yeah, we're hoping we can get what we want.
We got some irons in the fire.
No matter what, it's going to be dope.
Yeah.
You know that.
It'll be wrapped, and you'll walk in on Christmas Day, and you'll look under the tree, and you'll be like, oh, look what No Simple Road got me. So we love you guys. We'll be back next week with more stuff and things. Make sure you take care of each other, and you smile at a stranger, and you hydrate.
Make sure to tell somebody that you love our show so that they can love it too.
Oh,
and floss your teeth.
Safety third.
Leave us those reviews.
And remember that Darwin cares about you as well.
Oh, Darwin.
Darwin does. He's the sweetest. Peace.
But it's a tad bit of strange similarities that feed an A equal A complex. The fears of your past do not equal the perplexities of the current road.
I want to tell you about the April-May 2023 issue of Relics Magazine. It features a Dave Matthews Band cover story with additional articles and interviews with The National, Graham Nash, Wayne Shorter, ALO, Ivan Neville, our friend Eric Krasno and Stanton Moore, Marty Stewart, and much more. Check out the latest version of Relics and subscribe now at relics.com/DMB. Thanks, Relics.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.